This is a Shift Podcast Network production.
Welcome to Helen back again, live from the Stella Cinema Rap Minds. I think I've always wanted to say that. For this, our bonus episodes where we'll be looking at some Halloween humdinger horrors. I tell you, it's very exciting. Today I'm joined by horror nut, because you got to be a horror nut, and a hardcore Halloween embracer, Sarah McGowan, who is the Assistant General Manager at the Stella Cinema. Welcome. Well, welcome to me, because I'm in your place. But
thank you for having me in my venue.
All good. Now, when I say you like to embrace Halloween, I just, you know, we're not talking decorate the house or the car. We're talking full on family takeover. You guys go all in. So what's the theme for this year's walkabout?
This year we're going to do a family of serial killers, as my 6-year-old suggested. Because last year I was outnumbered and they wanted to do Peter Pan, which was fine. But I said next year has to be Mammy, and Mammy gets to pick and scary. So my 6-year-old decided that she wanted to be Samara from The Ring.
Oh.
Which then went to a line of questioning of how do you know who that is? And it turns out some kids YouTuber dresses up at her, so that's fine. So we're doing my husband's going to be Hannibal Lecter, I'm going to be Jigsaw, we have Samara, we have the Bride of Chucky, and Pennywise, and then we have a few extra add-ons, which is family, friends of the family, who are also going to dress up in character as well.
Sweet Lord. cross the street is my only answer. Well, if you're in your house, just lock the door. Right. So today, we've been asked, and when I say we've been asked, I've asked us to put forward 5 horror movies that either we tend to revisit seasonally, maybe in the bigger world have been overlooked, or are simply classics. Now, as you know, sticking to 5 means that crackers like The Thing, Evil Dead, Cabin in the Woods, they've missed the cut. Sorry lads, but Tough Love went on this year, and we're going to stick with them until we don't. So, first up, we have this little beauty about brains.
Do you ever think that modern life is not for you? Do you do the same dead-end job every day? Is your love life dying on its feet?
To a wonderful mom.
Oh, have you ever felt that you're turning into
Slayer of the World?
A zombie. Maybe you're not alone.
Piss it.
Although no one official is prepared to comment, religious groups are calling it Judgment Day.
Right, Shaun of the Dead, talk to me.
I remember seeing this in the cinema, and I knew nothing about it. We had the premiere, and the lads were over for it, which was also very exciting. And I just couldn't get over it. It was a zombie movie, which I love, but it was absolutely hilarious. It's got the gore, it's got the jumps, those silly scare jumps, but it's got this comedic value. And that music, that soundtrack, yeah, and the music in the Winchester, always is the Spin Master from Father, yeah, Ted. So I think that resonated somewhere with me as well. But no, for me, that would be my go-to. I can watch this by myself and not be too scared,
yeah,
and not have nightmares, and appreciate the horrorness of it, yeah, all as well.
It is. It's absolutely for that. It's, the gore is amazing. And yeah, the absolute terror followed by absolutely almost snot yourself laughing. Absolutely brilliant. Shaun of the Dead. My one.
This is the one night.
Don't forget your costume.
All sorts of things. Roam free.
The Halloween school bus massacre.
Yes, so I've gone with Michael Dougherty's Trick or Treat, which is a 2007 horror slasher movie, which has kind of 4, you know, interwoven stories that occur across Halloween in a kind of classic US suburban town, you know, everywhere. This one came out of nowhere and introduced me to the iconic Halloween character that is Little Sam, or Little Sewan, as he's known. He's this weird, small little weird burlap sack wearing child who has a pumpkin on his head and has a weaponized lollipop. Like, it's, this is mad stuff. Brian Cox, Anna Paquin, Dylan Parker starring it. And when it was released in the cinema, it absolutely bombed. I mean, it was lucky to make £3. But over time, it's become this cult classic that people, when's the sequel? When's the sequel? Well, the word on the street is that Michael Dougherty has the sequel written. And in the last few weeks, it's just something's happened. And maybe it's because of Halloween, obviously. But the rumour is that we will be getting a sequel very soon. So you heard it here first until you haven't. Despite being very dark, very violent and very gory, like Sean, it's absolutely hilarious as a movie. And not to be confused, this is very important, if you are going looking for this, with Trick or Treat with an O, because that's about in 1986. It's about a hair metal lead singer who is killed, turns into a demon, and then kills people with his guitar. So that's a different movie completely. I'm talking about the little one, Little Sam. So that's Trick or Treat. Next up from you, we have this. I would call it a classic, definitely.
Three beautiful women are about to discover powers they never dreamed they had.
Who should we be looking for? He should be really handsome.
Nice eyes.
Now, the man of their dreams is here.
Jane, at last we meet.
To stay for a spell.
Who are you?
Just your average horny little devil.
So my next one is, as you can all know and can all tell from the trailer, it's The Witches of Eastwick. I think this for me was, again, seeing it younger on VHS, and anytime it's on the telly, you can watch it any time of the year. It's just phenomenal. Three of the most stunning women, Cher, who is just absolutely amazing, Susan Sarandon and Michelle Pfeiffer. Susan Sarandon, that when I was younger and I watched this, when she transforms, when Jack Nicholson transforms her from being this like quiet, shy teacher, and her hair is curly and out and she's vibrant, I thought it was a completely different person. I was like, where's she gone? Who's this woman? So I think your brain does that, tricks you when you're younger, and then you watch again, you're like, wow. But yeah, Jack Nicholson's probably one of the sexiest men alive in this as well. And I know he's weird looking, and they even say in it, like, you smell. Like, she has this line in it, Cher does, where she literally goes to town on him and then goes to bed with him. Yeah. Like, so it's brilliant. But it has everything you want. It's got that gorgeous autumnal vibes to it. It's got, again, action, it's got romance, it's got love, and it's got the most disgusting scene, and made me never want to eat a cherry in my entire life. That scene with the cherries to this day haunts me. Like, it's just how they did it and where they came up with it was absolutely brilliant. Like, I brilliant
sexy horror, except for cherries. But that's The Witches of Eastwick. My next one, who doesn't love a classic creature feature?
Who are you?
Ed Harley.
What do you want, Ed Harley? Say it. You're looking for vengeance. Vengeance. Say it. There's no graveyard way back deep in them woods. The thing you're looking for is in there.
So yes, 1987's Pumpkinhead, or Vengeance the Demon, as it was called originally, and then people copped on and said, no, it's Pumpkinhead. It's a classic creature feature about a monster on the loose and a father dealing with grief and the loss of his son. So he conjures up this towering, vengeful demon called Pumpkinhead to destroy a group of unsuspecting teenagers that caused the child's death, obviously. Lance Henriksen plays the father, who is absolutely fantastic. And in another nice twist here, this was the directorial debut of Stan Winston, who did was famous for his creations in The Thing, Aliens, Terminator, and Jurassic Park. Teens on an away weekend in a cabin in an area that gives off Deliverance vibes. You know, what can go wrong? If Jack Skellington didn't sing, was a bit more ruthless and made poorer life choices, that's Pumpkinhead. Like, this is unbelievable stuff. I absolutely love the vibe of it. It spawned two sequels, which were absolutely crap. But again, like our friend earlier, Trick or Treat, rumours are they're rebooting it because it's just been one of those iconic monsters that not many people know, but it's kind of out there in the ether. So that's Pumpkinhead. Love it, love it, love it. Right, moving on. Sometimes, just sometimes, people can be strange.
Never grow old, Michael, and you'll never die.
Be one of us.
Notice anything unusual about Santa Carla yet?
It's a pretty cool place. If you're a Martian.
Or a vampire.
So, when I saw The Lost Boys, I remember my mom had said, it's not scary. You'll love it. It's not scary at all. And then she proceeded to fall asleep. And I stayed up for 4 hours after watching it because it scared the life out of me. Now you're saying, how could The Lost Boys scare anyone? It's just a cult classic. But when you're 16 and afraid of your own shadow and you watch this movie yeah. and I'm like, oh my God, this is terrifying. Now it's not. Now it's absolutely phenomenal. And it's got some of the best one-liners. Yeah. It's got one of the most phenomenal soundtracks.
Amazing.
Like,
yes.
I wasn't a fan of The Doors. And now, like, oh yeah. my God, like, just the soundtrack to this movie.
Sexy saxophone man.
Like, I mean, you said it first.
Yeah.
I still believe. But no, it's one of the best moments in it, really, because you're like, yeah. where has this guy come from? Is he a vampire? It's or is he the vampire's
just,
lunch?
Yeah.
And then you've got like, is it Ted from Bill and Ted or is it Bill? You've Bill or Ted in this as well as one of the vampires. Yeah. You've got Kiefer Sutherland.
Jason Patrick as well.
He's a beautiful man. You've the dad from the Gilmore Girls, as I like to call him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you've got the two lads, the two Coreys.
Yeah.
So the casting is absolutely brilliant. Yeah. And it's got all the 80-ness of it. And you've got like from all those 80s movies that you watch, you're seeing different characters and they've all come together in this. But it has the perfect amount of vampire-ness, you know. And it's got... You could watch it with, like, you know, a young adult as well, like 13, 14, 15, I think is okay. Because it's not too scary and it's just got the right amount of Halloween-y to it. Like, and again, one of the best soundtracks for.
It's also a weird one. You could watch anytime. It's not.
Again,
people dig it out with Halloween, but like you could watch it in March. Like it's such an iconic movie. And as you said, the soundtrack is absolutely ridiculous. Like, you're just
phenomenal.
Like, my God. So, love The Lost Boys. Let's see what's knocking around the house for this one.
The house looks just like the one next to it. And the one next to that. And the one next to that. A young couple live in it.
Give Ken a kiss.
You are so unlucky!
With their three children. And something more.
Hello. Here.
So yes, I'm going with Poltergeist from 1982, and it's a simple story of spooky family home haunted by a host of demonic ghosts, and they need to figure out how to get rid of them. Or lose their kids. Yeah, usual stuff. What's really weird is I always in my head thought Steven Spielberg made this. But in fact, he wrote it and produced it. And it was actually Tobe Hooper who did Texas Chainsaw Massacre that directed it. I'm like, what? Because I was watching it again during the night and I nearly lost my mind. I'm like, Tobe Hooper did this? Anyway, that's just one of the
nerds. I thought Stephen King would have wrote this one.
Yeah, no. It's bizarre. But it's got that classic line, they're here. And I think it's weirdly from all the kind of great 80s kind of family horrors or family movies, it weirdly gets left behind. Now and then, when there's an anniversary, people will talk about it. But of them all, it doesn't get the kind of the worth of some of the others. And I love it. I think it's the ultimate 80s movie bad parenting. Like, when you watch movies of the 80s, you're like, oh my God, these parents are like they're stoners, they're drinking beer, they're losing kids all over. When the Poltergeist first turns up, they're like having crack, they're putting on the helmet on the kid and letting the charge into the... Like, it's mad stuff. And then it kind of obviously takes a turn, gets quite dark. And I love when Tangina, the clairvoyant exorcist, rocks up and she's got her cool glasses on and she just walks in and goes, you all mind hanging back? You're jamming my frequency. And she is amazing in it. An absolute banger of a movie. I absolutely adore it. And in the 80s, it's one of those ones that borderline, is it scary? Is it not scary? Like, weirdly, like Gremlins and Gremlins 2, they're for family, but they're kind of scary.
You have to be careful, yeah.
Yeah, the 80s can be kind of, they out and went. And as I said, these parents, if you want to see bad parenting, this movie's for you, and it's absolutely brilliant. For the next one, I do believe last Tuesday, or this Tuesday, you dressed up as a slightly annoying but iconic shit stirrer, and that is our next movie.
Adam and Barbara are recently deceased. Happy to haunt in peace until the new residents humans moved in. To rid themselves of these pesky pests, they call on the ghost world's leading bioexorcist.
It's showtime. Attention, Game Board shoppers. A map.
So basically, I gave all the Stella guests a bioexorcism. I rocked up to work, as you can tell, as Beetlejuice. I find a reason. I've had that costume 12 years. And I find a reason every year to wear that costume. So some way or another, I am putting that on me. I got called a man several times, which is, I love. Because that means I'm really encouraged that people are surprised it's a woman in costume. So that's great for me. But yeah, Beetlejuice. Now, this is really tough for me, by the way. This is really tough for me to put this at number two and not at number one.
Yeah.
But I had to go with, like, you know, with the hard ones. But Beetlejuice is just everything. Now, my kids have watched it, and this is bad parenting that you just mentioned there. Like, 4-year-old, 6-year-old, 10-year-old have all seen Beetlejuice several times. So a lot of it goes over their head. It is one of those films that it's kind of okay you get away with it.
There's
a couple of little, like, you know, nice fucking model. But yeah, there's a few little bits in there.
You
know, the whorehouse. And like later in life, you're like, they put a whorehouse in the middle of the set. But I don't even need to talk about Beetlejuice as a film, because it's just absolutely brilliant. Another one with a phenomenal soundtrack.
Yes.
Because the music, the score for it is unbelievable.
Oh, it's literally, if you were walking down the street and you hear, like, it's so iconic. Like, it's up there with some of the best. And I just love, and it just adds to the whole freaky vibe. And it's, Tim Burton just absolutely nails it. Like, come
it's
on, make that sequel, man. Yeah. Make that sequel. Well, it could be a terrible sequel.
I don't
sequel,
know about the but, sequel. I'm very
skeptical.
I know,
be careful what you wish for,
I know,
I suppose.
I'm very, and do you know what? I want to love it because I love Michael Keaton. Like, I do, I adore him. And I know he's not going to botch it. Like, he's not going to botch it. He wouldn't do it, like.
Such a role. Like, it's just the stuff he gets away with. And he's just,
And but you know what it is as well? They can't have Gina Davis or Alec Baldwin, because, you know, how are you supposed to young them down either? So it's going to be a whole new story. It's going to be something different. So I will give it a go. Like the musical, if the musical came, 100%, I'd give it a go.
Oh, yeah. Because
big Beetlejuice fan here. But the amount of people, by the way, that were in here on Tuesday that hadn't seen Beetlejuice.
Stop.
That was fun.
What have you been doing with your lives, people?
What have you been doing? And they're all on dates and stuff. And I was like, oh, they've never seen it. And I'm like, are you kidding me? But the best part of Tuesday was that there was no time to change in between shows.
Yeah.
So we had 150 people come in for the 820 Killers of the Flower Moon with me dressed as Beetlejuice behind the bar. And I'm like, what can I get you guys? Welcome to Stella. By the way, I'm not always Beetlejuice.
Yes, I'm Halloween early.
It was a great day. It was a great day.
Love it. Yeah, my next one is less fun and just very stressful.
This is not good, guys.
Can we get out of here?
Which way?
I don't know.
Sarah thinks she saw someone back
so
there.
So what?
I don't think I saw someone. I saw someone.
No,
you heard something and you saw what you wanted to see. It's the dark. It plays tricks on people.
Hello! Please!
So my next one is 2005's The Descent from Neil Marshall. So it's basically a group of six female spelunkers who encounter some cave-dwelling creatures and, well, let the terror begin. So this is claustrophobic.
Yeah.
It's in the dark.
Yeah. No.
It's down the caves, tight spaces. Yeah. I went to a screen. I'll never forget. I went to a screening of this and it was absolutely jammers. And I've never heard people wail and people walk out from terror. Like, I mean, loud wailing, screaming, banshee type screaming. Because when you, about 20 minutes into the film, you cop on that you know there's a monster coming. Because you're in the dark, they're kind of squashed into these tight spaces, and you can do nothing about it. You just know, all I can do is prepare for the jump. And you're just sitting there going, like, I'm not going to be scared. And then the creature appears or jumps out of nowhere, and you've absolutely lose your mind. And I mean, people were I just can't tell. They made a sequel which was absolutely terrible. Funnily enough, the UK and US had different endings because the UK version was too depressing.
Oh no.
And that's obviously the one we saw and I loved it. But yes, I can understand completely. That's America for you. Like, no, could you up, how can you even make it upbeat when there's people dying all over it? This is if you want pure terror, and it's probably one of the first, as I call them, dread movies, and there's been a few of them in recent years, like Barbarian and stuff, and I love where you're just the pit of your stomach's like, oh, and you're rocking back and forth, you're like, oh, get me out of here. Like it is just, if you don't like small spaces, if you don't like the dark, what are you doing watching this film? But do watch it, because it's absolutely brilliant. So that is The Descent. And your final movie, your number one movie, Tallulah Laura, no, it's not Far and Away, it's this.
These brave Americans have traveled all the way to Europe to visit a genuine haunted castle.
Castle Blanket! We can promise you ghouls of all descriptions!
There are no blooming ghosts here!
But there will be! We'll invent them!
Their host doesn't want them disappointed.
This is the most pitiful supernatural sham that I've ever encountered.
We'll get better, I assure you.
This is High Spirits. Now, I'm going to explain this movie in detail.
Yes.
Because no one knows it exists. Which is such a shame, because my mother introduced me to this film when I was, again, quite young. And she loved it. Peter O'Toole stars in it. You've got Steve Guttenberg. You've got Beverly D'Angelo. Jennifer Tilly. Oh, the cast is phenomenal. But basically, so it starts off and Peter O'Toole is living in this castle called Castle Plunkett, which is actually in Limerick. Okay. And it's a ruin. And I've wanted to go visit it, but you can't actually get onto the site. Ah. So that's on my hit list, me and my friend Jenny. So he's in this castle, there's this guy Jim Brogan, he owes all the money of the rent to the castle and he wants to shut it down. He then decides by talking to his mother that he's going to say it's haunted. So all these tourists come over and they're all Americans and they're all the proper Americans from the 80s, 90s. So you have Steve Guttenberg straight off Police Academy, Beverly D'Angelo, you know, off the Vegas Vacation, National Lampoon's, oh my God, the worst one I went with. They're all coming over and this is the best part. The castle's not haunted. They're putting on a show, the most Irish show. All they serve is whiting, okay?
Yeah.
And they're trying to scare them. We've got the banshee and the pooka, and you have all the Irishness of it. But then what it does is it stirs something in the castle. And then you've got this scene. And this woman has died in the castle. Her husband murdered her. The woman is Daryl Hannah, who has the worst Irish accent in the world. And her husband, who murders her every night, is none other than Arlene Neeson.
Stop.
Who is phenomenal in the role. And it's this ghostly murder and she gets murdered every night. Anyway, I'm not going to say any more about the movie, so I don't want to give too much away. But let's just say chaos ensues, the most ridiculous CGI, but it's also brilliant.
Yeah.
A cast that is so well fitted together, and Peter O'Toole, who has the best one-liners. Like, he's just drinking punch in and he has this note of like pure, like eloquent, like posh, living in a castle, and then calls someone a pox bottle. Like, it's absolutely brilliant.
Lovely, lovely.
I'm pretty sure he calls someone a whore's melt as well. But anyway, it is, you have to watch it. And I don't think you can stream it anywhere.
Yeah.
I think you have to go onto Amazon, like me, and buy the DVD.
Yeah.
Because there's no Blu-ray. You can't download this. You're not streaming this. But if anyone would like to borrow my DVD, I am willing to lend it out. Just to bring it into my world.
Beautiful. It's madness of the highest order. It's Darby O'Gill in a castle.
Darby
and it's
O'Gill in a
just,
castle.
Oh, yeah.
And Darby O'Gill would have been up there.
And Darby O'Gill had better banshees.
He had better banshees. And I did have, like, and I really struggled with this list because I love Halloween so much. And I know none of mine are actually scary films.
Yeah.
They're actually all real, kind of like, these are grand. And I do have the borderline scary ones that like, terrify me. But this, for me, was like, High Spirits is like, when I think of Halloween, and for me, what film am I watching every single, even when it's not Halloween, I'm Paddy's there, I watch it like.
Oh, well, it's the classic.
It's the movie.
So that is High Spirits. Yes. And then I'm going to finish with I'm going to cheer everybody up with my final movie.
What's going on?
It's death.
Something in the mist! Shut the doors! Shut the doors!
The only way we're going to help ourselves is to seek rescue.
Tie this around your waist?
For four.
It'll let us know you got at least 300 feet.
There's nothing out there. Nothing in the mist.
What if you're wrong?
Then I guess the joke would be on me.
So yes, my final movie is Stephen King's The Mist, which was directed by Frank Darabont. Set in a small main town, its plot basically involves a group of people trapped in a large supermarket. A mist appears, and then there's things in the mists, and that's all you really need to know. It kind of, like, it's a classic B-movie trope, like, of people getting sucked into, you know, disappearing, but it is quite terrifying because you really don't know what the hell's out there. But it's ultimately a Lord of the Flies, because it's about the people inside, between the religious people and the not religious, and everybody losing their shit and turning on each other and, like, throwing people out into, you know, it's just mad stuff with giant monsters obviously coming in for, and in giant insects. Funnily enough, this is he wanted to originally in the 80s make, or late 80s, he wanted to make, Frank Darabont wanted to make this, and they wouldn't let him because they're like, we're not giving you a budget to make Aliens. So he actually went off and made another Stephen King novella, which was Rita Hayworth and The Shawshank Redemption.
Oh my god.
And then he did another Stephen King, which was The Green Mile, and then based on those two they gave him the cash to do this. So he released this. If you get a chance to see this in black and white, which is how Frank Darabont wanted to see it, which is again only available on the DVD, or probably on iTunes or whatever, the black and white version is also amazing. Thomas Jane is the lead in it. I love him to death. There's loads of little Stephen King kind of Easter eggs, I suppose. Why I also love this is because it has absolutely one of the bleakest endings to a movie I've ever seen in my whole life. And I've seen a lot of horrors. Like, this is dark. And it's totally changed from the novel. And Stephen King just went, oh my god, even I wouldn't write that ending. And he loved it. But the ending, the music playing, it's, I cannot, I'm not even going to tell you. But funny enough, the Americans also went with the same ending, but it is, oh my god, so fab, creepy stuff. That's The Mist, fantastic stuff. So that's us, we're done with our 5 and 5. Is there anything you've missed that you're kind of sad, you don't have to, just, is there anything that you wish you'd also talked about?
Oh yeah, I had a whole like other list. Oh, hang on. Yeah. Like, now I'm just gonna go through these real quick. So the B list of this was Return to Oz. Oh my god.
Oh yeah.
Oh my god. The Wheelers.
Yeah.
The Gnome King.
Yeah.
And people are like, Sarah, that's not a Halloween film.
It's,
yes, it is.
It's terrifying.
Yes, it is. Practical Magic, because, you know, we got to put the lime in the coconut. Cabin in the Woods, which you mentioned at the start, because that surprised me. I thought that was going to scare the bejesus out of me.
The twist
turned
was
out, loved it. Death Becomes Her. Steph, shout out.
Yeah.
Death Becomes Her, because, you know, again, iconic. And The Craft.
Ah, yes.
Love The Craft.
Bit of witchy woo in there. You love your witchy woo.
You know what?
That's three or four of your movies are witch movies.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. And my mom's going to kill me because she's like, where's Bram Stoker's Dracula?
Oh,
and I'm like, I love it. Yeah. Where's Interview with the Vampire? I love them all. Like, I just, my husband would kill me for not doing Halloween or Child's Play as well.
Yeah.
Considering we've watched Halloween 3 times already this month.
Oh my god.
He just keeps putting it on. And I'm like, I'm here for it. Yeah. Like, it's great.
Yeah. I'm sad because, you know, we didn't talk about Bad Taste and Brain Dead, which are both Peter Jackson.
Yeah.
And it's because they're so cheaply made. They're like Monty Python made with a camcorder for £5. Like, at the time, you're like, what is this absolute shite? Like, but they're absolutely fantastic. So, anyway, Bad Taste and Brain Dead. Love them, love them, love them. So that's it. We made it. Halloween is coming, folks. And there's nothing better than just lining up your horrors. And I said, you end up going in directions you never expect. Thank you very much, Sarah McGowan.
Thank
We're in
you
the
for having
Stella
me.
Cinema in Ratmines. And
Halloween.
Happy Halloween, folks.
Oh, and I should mention that we are doing this podcast in a building that is haunted.
Well, there you go.
So
don't
quote me on that, though.
I was going to say, if this podcast doesn't go up, you'll never know if we made it out here.
We won't. This building's 100 years old. We won't.
So, okay. We'll be right back.
afraid of no ghosts.